And that was Finlandia, one of the pieces I like to play because it shows off a lot of elements of the keyboard. That particular piece is also known as Be Still My Soul, which is a hymn tune based on the same tune. So I thought I'd start with that, and now let's dig our way into the Kurzweil. This is a much more in-depth study of the Kurzweil and how it is used by someone who doesn't see. This is... Where shall I start? I hardly know where to start. This keyboard is one of those... If you think about recipes, you make everything from scratch on this keyboard. On my old Technics KN2000 keyboard, there was a button you pressed for echo, and you had an echo chamber. There might have been several choices of that echo chamber. There was a button you pressed for chorus, and it sort of made sounds kind of wave around. And there was a button for flange, and there was a button for all kinds of things. On this monster, you do it yourself. There are some that are programmed in, but there's no chorus button, there's no reverb button. You just do it all. This is basically what's called the programmer's keyboard. You program just about everything you use. First, a physical description. Well, I'm not going to cover it all because there's too many buttons and gizmos and knobs. It's a weighted keyboard. The keys feel very much exactly like a piano keyboard. So as I'm playing, the keys are weighted in such a way that it's easy for me to go from piano to keyboard because they're very much a similar thing. My former keyboard did not have weighted keys, and it was much more like organ keys. This is much more like a piano, which is, unfortunately, one of the things that makes the keyboard so blasted heavy. 88 weighted keys. We can basically divide the buttons above the keyboard into four major sections. At the left-hand end of the keyboard, you've got a master volume control. Well, first of all, you've got two wheels. One is a pitch wheel, so if I... And you can set that pitch to be an octave, a half note, a whole note, a whole and a half. I mean, anything you want it to be. I have it set on a whole note at the moment. That's how I get the... And it'll go up as well. And the other wheel we'll get to in a moment. That is what allows you to add a lot of things to what you're playing at the same time you're playing them, giving you a sort of layered effect. Then above the keyboard, you've got a master volume, and then you have eight separate volume controls. You can track 32 tracks on this recorder, and it's easy enough to hear the first eight. Once you get beyond that, it's a little more difficult. And so these volume knobs, or actually they're sliders, are basically a volume for the first eight channels. Above each of them is a mute button, and to the left of them in a series of buttons is a button that allows you to open up a mixer so that when you track things, you can determine the pan, where it is in the stereo separation, the volume, etc., etc. And we'll demonstrate some of that later on. To the right of that are eight buttons, four down and two across. The first button on the left is what you press to select your programs, and programs on the Kurzweil are actually the particular sounds in the Kurzweil. For example, the piano is 770. Now, Kurzweil has added a lot of things to the piano, so 772, for example, I just turn the wheel to make that softer. And I can turn it back to make it louder. So I can actually control how much of the piano I want here by how far I turn this wheel. So there's a lot of different piano sounds. What do they call it when you stick all kinds of foam and whatever else in your piano to make it sound weird? Something like that. There's also, in the piano section, a way to separate the keyboard into two halves. The right hand is the piano. And the left hand is the bass, with a little cymbal added. Just another mixture that they've already got on here, and once again you can control with the wheel how much you hear. So the top left button, as I was saying, are all your programs. Kurzweil puts in the first 200 programs, and if you get the piano ROM, which is a different block that you can put in, the orchestral ROM and the contemporary ROM, you get numbers starting at 740 for the piano, and 800 is the contemporary ROM, and from 900 to 1,000 is the orchestral ROM. If we go into orchestral ROM, let's do 904, which is an orchestra, and once again the wheel comes into effect. My woodwind section. Add as much or as little strings as I want. All kinds of stuff in here, including lots of drums. One of the interesting things about how they do the drums is that they give you two fingers to play each drum. For example, if I play a C sharp, I get a snare drum. If I play a C or a D, I get another snare drum. So, I've got three fingers to use to roll and make all kinds of other drum patterns. Now, as I move out from those two snare drums in either position, down and up, down the keyboard with the left hand and up the keyboard with the right hand, I get two more drums of the same kind, but I've got two fingers to operate them. Cymbals. So it becomes a lot easier to do what you want to with drums, and I can just keep going on up and down. Whoops, missed one. Santa Claus is coming. Castanets. Single castanets. Anyway, so forth and so on. So we go into contemporary ROM, and we've got things like a gamelan. All kinds of much more contemporary sounds, some synthesized, some not. And you have things like pan flutes. Aha. The little, there's a strip just above the keyboard. Which allows you to do all kinds of things. So that kind of makes the pan flute sound nice. Kotos. Again, pressing the key harder or softer makes a difference. Saxophone section. Different things no matter how hard you press, because here you get the bass, but if you play a little louder, mm-hmm. I even have, and I've never figured out how to play it really well, a sitar. Or something like that. You press harder on the key, press at the key and leave it and do your finger up and down and you get vibrato. So a lot of what's happening here with this keyboard is that you can set up different things that happens when your key presses harder or softer. For example, in this, you get the vibrato. If I go to the string section, for example, press harder. All right, that's program mode. Now you go to the second button on the top in that section of eight buttons, and you're in what's called setup mode. And here, you can combine programs and come up with all kinds of strange things. That's actually several different programs in the program segment added. And you can have things that are looped so that if you keep your finger on it, for example, if I press this note, it loops together all the things that I created. Actually, this is a Kurzweil's own creation, but you can do the same thing yourself. And when you let your finger up, all those things stop happening and you can decide what happens. You can actually divide the keyboard into threes so that with the right hand, you're playing the English horn, and with the middle hand, or lower part of the left hand, you're playing the French horn. And with your left hand, you're playing the strings. So I'm not even tracking that. That's actually being played live with three hands, or two and a half hands at least. The third button on the left allows you to go into a place where you can actually select any kind of program, anything on the keyboard, and put it in a registry so that all you have to do is press a key and go directly to that particular program, even though it's one might be 814 and one might be 612, but you only have to press one key to get there. And the fourth button is effect mode, where you can change the reverb, you can change the digital output, you can change whether each program has its own studio, which is what they call all the effects that you can set up for the program, or whether you have it all in all of the programs in one effect, or one echo chamber, or one output bus, as they call it. And in the right-hand column of those eight buttons are things like master mode, which contains lots of ways to load utilities, to delete samples, to change temperament settings. If you're a piano tuner, you know about temperaments. You can actually cause this keyboard to play in temperaments that existed back in the 18th, 19th century, such that some things that now sound in tune sound out of tune, and you start to understand why people always resolved chords or why they played in certain keys, because certain keys were more in tune than others. So you can do that. You can change the pitch of the keyboard so you can tune it to anything that you're trying to play along with. There's also song mode, which we'll get to in a moment. There's also disk mode, which we'll get to in a moment, which allows you to copy and delete and load and save and that sort of stuff. And there's one button we're not even going to get to. There's just too much here. Then you get to the display, which is sort of in the middle of the keyboard. And underneath the display are six buttons. To the left of those is the edit button. If you press the four buttons in the middle of these six, they all open up a menu. There's master mode, there's sample mode, there's all kinds of stuff here. Now, of course, in each of these menus, there are 15 or 20 choices that I haven't even listed. If you press the right end button or the left end button, you go to a different set of menus, and there are probably seven or eight in the cycle that you can go more, that you can go one step to the right, and there's a whole bunch of four more menus, and one step to the right, and there's a whole bunch of four more menus, etc., etc. On the other hand, if you press the edit key, now these same buttons do the same things, but you're in a totally different level of menus. So, for example, if I press the edit key and I press the second button from the right on under the display, I'm in pitch control, where I can control the pitch of the sound I'm playing. If I press the button to the left of that, I'm in key map, where I can actually map keys to my samples that I've recorded. If I press the right more button, I get to another whole set of menus of four main choices. And of course, I can press the right more button four or five more times and get the four or five more different sets of menus. However, I can now press the edit button one more time. And guess what? I'm into yet another level of depth of menus. And I can do the same four buttons in the middle, more buttons on the end, and go through all kinds of other menu structures. And these are smart menus, so that if you do A, and the keyboard says, well, it's logical you wouldn't do B if you've already done A, let's take B away. It's quite a beast. What I want to do now is load some of my samples. If I press the fourth button on the right, I get to disk mode. I happen to know that the buttons underneath the display, the second one is load, so I press that. And I happen to know that the samples that I want are 15 down from the top, so I press number 15 on the number pad key and enter. And I happen to know that now it's asking me if I really want to do this, and so I press the number 5 button under the display, which is the OK button. It's now asking me where I want to load them, and I want to load them from Program Sound 200 on. And now it's asking me if I want to either append to other samples I've loaded, or if I want it to load them in number order, or just fill up the remaining spaces that are left. Well, in this case, I want to load in numeric order, so I press OK again, and my samples begin to load. It takes a while. There's a hard drive in the keyboard, so I'm going to go away now and wait till these load and come back. Okay, I'm back. My samples have loaded. Let me show you how I track a song, though. Let's go into song mode. And I come in on something called New Song, sort of like Word, a blank document. I can either turn the wheel or press in a number of any song that I have composed or played and change to that song. If I arrow down one, I'm on tracks, and I can put in a track number. So let's set track one up. I've just pressed in number one. I arrow down. And now I'm in the column where I can choose the program or sound I want to record in that on that track. So I find the choir. There we go. We're on track one. Now I go back up and I set my English horn to be track two by going down and going into the program list and selecting that for track two. So now that that's all done, I press record and I press go. Now I press stop, and I press save, and it says, which is the, stop is the third button from the left, save is the second button from the right, and it asks me if I'm sure, and I press it again. Now the second button from the left has changed, and now it's the play button, so let's see if I've recorded. I have. And now I'm ready to record on track two, while listening to what I've done on track one. So I press record, and I press play. Now I press stop, and I press save, and it says, do you want to save for sure? And I press OK. Now I play, and now I can use the mixing section to decide how loud I want the various tracks. I just faded out that one track, and fade it in, fade the other one out, so I only have the English horn playing, which I wouldn't want to do, but this way I can sort of even them out. And that's how I track songs. And you can just keep going on and on and on and adding more tracks and more tracks and more tracks. So what if, for example, I wanted to combine a couple tracks and not have to play them individually, but I wanted to combine them so that when I played a chord on the keyboard, it would play two tracks at once, or basically two sounds at once. Let's say I want to add something to my harp. Let's go find my harp here. And let's say I wanted to add, say, something like a celeste to this harp. I don't know why I would, but let's just do it. I press edit. I know that adding a layer is not in the current menu that I'm in, or the current set of the four buttons that are in the middle, so I have to press the left more button. And then I press the third button from the right, which is add layer. And I happen to be on piano, but I don't want piano, so I find my celeste, which happens to be 971, enter. I press OK to accept that. Now, I don't like the volume of the celeste. It's a little too loud. And I happen to know that if I press two right more buttons, and then the fifth button from the right, I'm on volume. And I happen to be, I could page up and down now between these two layers, the harp and the celeste, and control the volume of each. But I want it down the volume of the celeste. So I turn the wheel to the left, and it's, now you just hear the harp, and I bring it up, bring the celeste up a little bit, and, well, let's try that. Kind of a strange sound. I don't want, now I could, I started to say I don't want to save that, which I don't. If I did, I have to go find save, and press enter, and decide what number of these 1,000 programs that I can put this in and choose a number. Otherwise, it'll just put it wherever is next, and I may not want it there, and press enter and press OK to make sure. And I can also do things like vary the delay between two channels of a sound. So, for example, my Let's see, where's the piano? So I could play this piano as one layer. Or I could combine another piano layer with it, put one in the left channel, one in the right channel, and put a little bit of delay between the two of them. You won't be able to hear the delay, but it's enough to give it a much broader stereo effect. Now, let me show you how pitch variation makes a difference. Again, I can add, let's do my handbells. I have a set of handbells, which I used on the Christmas program, and I have them layered. I have about four different layers of handbells, all sounding pretty much the same. And if I play them, they're nice, but I could get a, what do you call it, a more ethereal sound or a more, I'm not sure, you make up the word for it. But if I vary the pitch on these, and I won't take the time to do it online here, so that there's a little bit of pitch variation between each of the bell layers, I get something that sounds like this. Just a little waving in and out there that makes it sound a little, well, I guess that word you made up again. Now, of course, I can add other layers to this. I can add my choir by going into Add Layer, choosing Choir, pressing OK. So now I don't have to track those at all. I can play them all at the same time. Now I can only do that with a certain amount of layers before I start running out of memory. And if I want to play different things than the chords I'm playing, then I have to track something else with it. So I actually have to go into song mode and add another track like I did before. One of the nice things this keyboard has is something called KDFX, or chambers in which you can play sounds. And you can do all kinds of things to them, like set their chorus and their flange and their delay and their reverberation time, what bus they go to, mix sounds together, etc. So let's say that I wanted to change some effect on my organ sounds. I find my organ, which happens to be 200. Well, let's do the other one. So it's loud, and so it echoes a lot. Let's say I wanted to change that, though. I press Edit. I'm in one of these menus again with the left and right more and less buttons. So I do four left more buttons, or less buttons, seeing how I'm going backwards. And then I happen to know that KDFX1, which is what I want, is the second button from the left. So I press it, then I press Edit. Then I go down, arrow down 2, and now I hope, think, that I'm on reverb time. So let's take some of that reverb time out and make the echo less. Well, we took it sort of all away, didn't we? There we go, there's some. We can make it a lot more. Too much, too much, too much. Okay. But the other thing we can do is we can create an echo, and then we go up one arrow. We arrow up one. Now we're on wet dry, which means that you can add a certain amount of echo to the dry sound or non-echo sound. In essence, what you're doing in terms of the listener is moving the microphone further away from the sound. I can move it really close, or I can put it way in the back of the room. Complicated? Yes, indeed. Now, what makes this worse is that how do I explain this? KDFX has what's called studios. And in each studio, you have different menu setups. I happened to be in, I don't even remember what number studio it was, but I knew where the controls were to get to the reverb parameters in that studio. But guess what? Not all studios are alike. Of course not. Some of them have the reverb in someplace else. Some of them, if you go to where you think reverb is, you're changing output. So not only do you have all these menus to remember, you have a bunch of different studios, and depending on which one you're in, the menus don't do nearly the same thing. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? I was talking to a friend once, and he said, I used to go to the cafeteria to eat lunch. I don't do that anymore. I had to stand in line, try to figure out where the line was. You get to the counter, you have to figure out what's on the menu, what somebody puts on your plate. Then you have to find a table without whacking somebody in the head with your tray. And you eat, you don't know who's there, and you don't know where things are on your plate until you find them. Then you have to figure out where to put your plates away and see if there's a line there so you won't trip over people. And by the time I finished lunch, I realized that I had spent most of the time dealing with my disability such that I didn't really have much time left to deal with people or to deal with my pleasure of eating. In a sense, that's the way this keyboard is. In a sense, that's the way a lot of things that people who are blind use, especially if those things aren't accessible. Because what you end up doing is, in fact, spending a lot of time dealing with your disability or dealing with the inability to use a particular piece of software or piece of hardware because it's not accessible. So you have to memorize all these menus and cram all this stuff in your head. Now, I don't know that I'd be any better if I didn't have to do that. I probably wouldn't be playing the keyboard at all. I'd be back in Possum Hollow working in the paper mill. So in one sense, perhaps I'm better off. But it does take an awful lot of energy to deal with stuff that really decreases from your creative process. It's not as if I can look at the keyboard and look at the menus and say, oh, here's where I go. No, I have to memorize all this stuff. Maybe if I could clear up my head of all this stuff, I could remember people's names or remember my own name. Or it gets overwhelming at some point. Although I would have to say that being that organized comes in handy every once in a while. Having to remember all that stuff and being able to place that stuff in your head, it has some advantages. Okay, was I on a little bit of a soapbox there? I think so. Well, I know I haven't covered nearly all the things I wanted to cover. It's been a sort of haphazard trip through the Kurzweil, and a real trip would take many days. It's quite a beast. It's a nice beast, but it's rather complicated. If there are specific things you want to know, please ask, and I'd be happy to try to teach myself and you about how to use them. I'd like to thank Larry for hosting these shows on the Blind Cool Tech website. I would like to play one more piece before I go. This is a piece that I think a lot of people know, something I arranged about 3 years ago, called Shenandoah. Enjoy, and thanks for listening.